one chooses to walk the way of the Mandalore, you are both hunter and prey. This is the way.
This is the way.
You expect me to search the galaxy and deliver this creature to a race of enemy sorcerers?
This is the way.
This is the way.
Wake up, Mandalorian.
I wasn't a stormtrooper, wise.
Hey, let's make the baby do the magic hand thing. Come on, baby. Do the magic hand thing.
Can I say, I'm an excellent judge of character.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Secondary Heroes Podcast. It's a continuation of our special edition series talking about The Mandalorian. It's time for Season 2, Episode 5. It's Chapter 13, The Jedi. This is your host, Trevor, and joining me as usual is...
Hey, guys, it's Pragu.
A child has no name. This is the Lorian Wolfgang.
I don't know what you guys are referencing with your intros.
No idea. I don't have no idea, but I guess we'll find out later. Maybe. Oh, so the big one. This is the one that we've been waiting for a while.
Oh, what a fun episode.
It's been teased for a long time, and here it came.
If this is your first time listening, we do like to give a spoiler-free review for a few minutes before we dive into scene-by-scene super spoiler territory. So with that, who wants to start?
Brock, you're really good at starting. Why don't you go ahead?
Okay. This was a great episode. I think that overall it told a fairly predictable story, but not in a bad way. Like it fell on kind of traditional cinematic storytelling. We'll get into that more when we talk in our spoiler heavy review, but it worked really well, I think, for these two characters in this situation. And it kind of hinted at a lot of things to come, which made me excited because I felt like it's going to expand this part of the universe for the first time in live action television. And the action was great. It was a lot of fun. A lot of fun surprises as well. So overall, this was probably one of the best of the series so far. I still think I like the one with Bo-Katan a little bit better just because I thought it was more fun. But this one was just almost on par. It just had a lot more going for it because of Ahsoka. Anyways,
was a fun episode. I just had a good time. Everybody's always saying this show is a Western mixed with like a samurai film. And this, I really felt the samurai film portion of it all. It was so fun and cool, and it was moody, it was dark, it just had everything. It had everything that you want, and this was probably the best episode of the season. I don't want to say of the entire series, but of this season for sure. And I want to know what that thing on Ahsoka's head is. Please.
It's part of her. It's not a hat or anything. It's literally just part of her.
Okay.
So for me, Trevor? This episode was super hyped. Like, just personally, I've been anticipating this forever, that we knew that Ahsoka was going to be on Mandalorian. And Ahsoka is amazing ever since we got introduced to her in 2009. So seeing her live action was super exciting. And then once we got to Thursday at midnight and everyone started watching it, and there was early hype, like people like, oh, my God. And they're just losing their minds over all that. I was like, OK, let's maybe take a step back. It's not like the greatest thing ever created by man. And it's definitely not. But it's pretty.
Oh, it definitely is.
It's pretty damn awesome from start to finish. Like, you finally get to see so many things. Like, just the best example I have from my notes on the third line in all caps, I wrote live action Ahsoka. Honestly, that was enough for me. Seriously. And they made a great storyline to include her. It's a little generalized in terms of like holding hands for fans who aren't familiar with the series. They're like, let's do a very cursory glance of what the Force is and the lore and all that. I would have liked more lore because once you're into Mandalorian and you've watched 2 seasons and 5 episodes, you're in. You know, you're invested. You know, this isn't episode 1 of the season 1 where you have to hold people by the hand. That was my only kind of drawback, but really outstanding job.
Yeah, there you go. For sure, man.
And we got it right off the bat, too.
For someone like me who hasn't seen Clone Wars, I don't know much about Ahsoka or anything like that. I've seen her through Twitter. I've seen her through Instagram. I've seen her through, you know, Star Wars chats and whatnot. And so I know of her. But just like you said, seeing her in live action, it was almost like seeing, oh God, that the woman on Walking Dead with the sword.
Yeah, it was the Michonne episode, for sure. It was like everyone was waiting for Michonne to show up on Walking Dead. When she did, it was a big deal. This is the same thing. It was like this mythical kind of, you know, hype in the fandom, and then you finally get to see what this person looks like, you know, on TV, and I had the same parallel. The same, I was in the same wavelength as you.
Yeah.
I felt like that, for sure.
So fun. So yeah. Much fun. Yeah. And we got more, I don't want to say any. Well, we should probably get into the spoilers if I'm going to say anything else.
One to Prague's point, though. For as good as this episode was, I would say that what it teases down the road is probably my biggest takeaway from what it did, rather than the episode itself.
That was my deal with it, too. It was like, oh, you know, you kind of go, okay, we're going there.
Yeah, so there's a lot of potential.
It was a fun episode, but it was the potential that really got me. I was like, okay, this is what this show is now.
Well, it finally has the story. We finally have that story. We can finally move forward now. Like, this even had a little side mission feel to it, but then it was like, oh, wait, hold on. Nope, no side mission.
Yeah, Mando stumbles into all this kind of crazy side missions that somehow go to the overarching story. It's weird how he just kismetly stumbles into good stuff.
That's Star Wars for you.
Sure, yeah.
I mean, it is. I mean, look at Luke and Obi-Wan, that whole stuff. But anyway.
Anyways, so before we actually get into the spoiler portion, I just want to remind everybody, go follow us over on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all that fun stuff. Make sure you're also subscribed and hitting that doorbell, whatever that thing is, on YouTube, because then you get to see our handsome faces when we talk about all this crap. So follow us. We're Secondary Heroes on every platform, and I hope that you guys enjoy the rest of the show.
Awesome. So we'll start at the top. They don't waste time introducing Ahsoka. It's not like, oh, is she going to be halfway in the episode? Is it going to be like a reveal right at the end? They're like, boom, right at the start, we're going to put everything in like a dark, murky fog, and her lightsabers are just going to pretty much light up the entire scene. And as soon as the first time you see her face, I'm like, Rosario Dawson is excellently cast. The costume design is spot on. You barely see a glance of her face from a reflection from the lightsaber, and it's just so spot on.
The glow from the lightsaber, the lighting effect was gorgeous. It lit her up so perfectly because she's a very colorful character, and to see that light just gleaming off of her, and even in those split second cuts, man, was that cool. That like hooked me immediately for this character.
Yep.
Yeah, she definitely had that like ninja like feel too. You know, she would glow and then she would disappear and then glow and disappear, you know.
Yeah.
The scene, it was a lot of fun to see that scene. And it was great to see it right off the top. I mean, I'm glad we didn't have to wait to the end of the episode. That would have been terrible.
Yeah, this was their Mando does a great job of making a great introduction scene. Like, their intros, their first 2 minutes have been really great this season, and this was the best one they've done, and that is saying quite a bit, too.
Yeah.
I would say last episode was probably next in line of Baby Yoda trying to mess with the cords. I love that. I don't know, man. That one's hard to top, but this one definitely did it for me.
Baby Grogu. I mean...
Snap!
I mean, Baby Groot. It's just like Baby Groot.
Okay, so I know that we discussed no matter what name is chosen for the child, people are going to hate it. I personally felt it was fitting. It was cute. It was just the right amount of cute to where every time that he said it, Baby Yoda or Grogu would look up and Argh? It was like, oh my God, that's adorable.
You jumped ahead to that scene. Okay.
Well, no, I mean, but okay. I figured you started saying the name, let's just get into it.
This is my bad. Yes, yeah, we'll talk about that when it comes up in the scene, I think.
Okay.
But yeah.
I agree.
And so while we're still there, we have that cool drum they have, or that cool bell they have, and I'm like, oh good, is King Kong coming? And that was awesome. King Kong synergy. And then it's
Can you imagine though if there was a giant like monster beast or something that like
Monsters.
There was, but not like they didn't call to the sound of the bell. That would be kind of fun. But yeah, still I like that bell. That was fun.
Yep. Then we get the shot of Lone Ahsoka against the wall, where, you know, they have this big, huge wall. They have all these guards, and she actually threatens them that you have till sunrise tomorrow to give me the information that I want. And that's just a great juxtaposition, because now we're showing the Ahsoka that we're meeting here is way even after the Ahsoka we see in Rebels. Like, so the Clone Wars Ahsoka, in case those people haven't watched Clone Wars or Rebels, when Ahsoka leaves Clone Wars, she leaves the Jedi Order because the Jedi Order turns their back on her. And so she's just done with them. And then she's kind of on her own, and she works with the Rebellion and Rebels as kind of like an insider. And then this is like 10, 15 years after, at least 10 years after that. And so she's just kind of being on these, I don't even know how to describe her mission. It's almost like a personal vendetta. We'll find out at the end of the episode. That's all, that she's just going to the galaxy, using her Jedi skills as not a Jedi to just find personal vengeance.
Yeah, I think if you had watched Rebels, you kind of have an idea of what she's up to. But I think for the casual fans, they were like, I don't know what's happening. Sure.
Yeah. You
know. But yeah, it was fun. It was just great to see her by herself. It's like, it's just me against all of you, and I'm the one threatening you. It is a great way to introduce a character.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. So, and I also wanted to note that I also love the sound of her lightsabers.
Yes.
That's one of my favorite parts of that, was the sound design.
Are these the first lightsabers we have so far? Besides the Darksaber, these are like the first actual lightsabers that we see in this show.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is actually. Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Ahsoka has the great sabers because she has the dual white bladed sabers, and they're always awesome, and she can do fun stuff with having two blades.
Yeah, she showed it in the first scene.
Yeah, and one of the things before we get to the next scene, I just want to mention that Dave Filoni created Ahsoka. You know, he started that Clone Wars movie in 2009, and he's working with somebody else's characters, whether it's Anakin or Obi-Wan or what have you. But he made Ahsoka to fit into the timeline, and now it's not passed off to somebody else. It's not like George Lucas made these characters and somebody else is picking up. Dave Filoni gets to keep Ahsoka's storyline going himself, so he knows more than anybody where he wants this character to go, since it's his character.
Yeah, well said.
And you can tell with everything that she does in this episode.
Yeah, it was handled very well, for sure. All right, what's next?
Next is we have their landing, and so Baby Yoda's changing seats because they're about to land on this planet. We get to transition back to Mandalorian, so we get this whole Ahsoka scene, and then they're like, "Hey guys, this show's actually called The Mandalorian," so we get to go back to him, and we're landing on the planet, and we're tracking Ahsoka this whole time. And so Baby Yoda has the little metallic ball lever because he's obsessed with that from last season, and he actually uses the Force to spin it off and grab it.
That was fun.
It's a good sequence.
It's a good one.
It's a nice juxtaposition also against the intense action to start. And then going like, oh, don't worry, we still have the cute, you know, baby to do cute things. Don't worry, we're not just going to be lightsabers flying around for 45 minutes and over.
Which would have been fine with me.
Yeah, that would have been all right, too. If they showed up at the very end.
Very nice. So, yes, I do like the planet as well. It's nice to see different planets this season.
That was one thing that I wanted to mention, was it was nice to see this new planet that had new creatures. Like, you've got that, those big tall tree like creatures.
Corvus.
Whatever they.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
No, that's the planet. Right. I don't know what those big creatures are called.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the creatures. I'm like, all right.
I'm not that nerdy. I'm sure it's online somewhere.
I'm sure it exists.
Oh, I'm sure. They reminded me of the creatures from Mist. From The Mist. Sorry.
The Mist, yes. Yeah, the long legs and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was.
Yeah, they do. It was kind of cool. I liked it. It was a well designed. I don't know if Filoni had some say in what the planet looked like, but it felt very much like the way he would frame scenes in like Rebels. It just had that look.
Yes,
if that makes sense.
No, it makes so, just because it's neat. So dark nice and gritty. Touch. Especially because the person who's leading this planet, the Magistrate, she used to work for the Empire, and a lot of Rebels is shot where Empire is overruling the planet, and they don't care about the planets. That's kind of the emphasis of Rab. And so this has that same feel where this used to be a forest planet, and now it's just smog. You can see the industry factories just pumping smoke, and you see all the forests is dead. Those big animals are going to die soon enough because they've polluted this entire planet. It's a nice analogy to something. I don't know what that could be.
Do you want me to tell you?
No. So let's move on to the next scene. They land.
They do land. And now the one thing I turned, so he goes into town, it's in disrepair, and everyone is running scared. But what I really noticed is that he doesn't wear his jetpack. He has the long rifle from the first season.
Yeah.
And I was like, why are they doing that? And it goes into what they're, this whole is like the lone gunman samurai theme, rather than being a Mandalorian. And so they wanted to establish it back to what they were doing in season one.
No, that makes sense. Good call. I didn't even, that was not something I had picked up even. I knew that they were trying to go with the Western feel, but I didn't notice the lack of the jetpack.
It's because I was staring at him and I'm like, damn, dude, that must be so hard to get, go to bed and change. And I'm like, wait, he just sleeps wearing all that because he had just so much stuff on. I was like, damn, that's such a hassle. It must take you so many hours in the morning to get ready. No, that's what I was thinking about.
It stinks. It smells terrible. Mando, use some deodorant, man. So.
Oh, God.
Sorry. But yes, he's the lone gunman. He comes into town. Talks to
but
the
I mean, I think I like I like the look of him wearing the rifle too, because I didn't even catch that either until you mentioned it, and it just kind of like dawned on me. Oh yeah, and it looks so much better too. Like when he's got the, it's it almost looks like little horns on the on his back. It looks pretty cool.
It's a good silhouette.
I don't know. I think it was definitely an aesthetic thing.
Yeah, because then he goes up to the magistrate. And it's a good introduction because they have those torture tubes right on the outset. And they love that effect where they can do the skeletal shock thing because they're like, we're going to use that as much as we can. And then they do the different scene. They switch the scenes from outside to inside. And you can see how it's like all like dirty and grimy outside. And then you go inside, it's all tranquil and peaceful. And there's all the little ponds and stuff. And it's like, oh, this is how she's, you know, isolated herself from the horribleness that's going on in this world.
Oh, power. Yep. Power and money, I'll do it.
It looks great, though, but that's exactly where the whole, like, for me, the samurai look comes from, is she's got this beautiful, like, almost koi pond with the bonsai trees that immediately I'm put into that, like, Kill Bill scene, which I'm sure we'll get to.
It's funny because it also felt like Westworld, where in season whatever, you know, they're all in the Western theme. And then all of a sudden they go to that samurai theme setting. Mm-hmm. And it's like just it's like they did the same exact transportation.
Yeah,
that's weird. Yeah, I did not like that part of Westworld. But yeah, anyway, I'll try not to compare it too much to that then. But I feel you. I get you.
And then we get the obvious mission to take out Jedi, because you knew once we saw that Lady has a problem with Jedi that Mando would be tasked as a bounty hunter to take out Jedi. And he's like, oh, conveniently, he's going into town to ask about the whereabouts of the Jedi. And he didn't even ask to ask anything. They gave the information to him.
Like, how'd you know? It's great.
Well, and they were going to offer him, what, the steel
The Beskar
staff?
Yeah.
Or spear or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Which that comes up later. And I didn't realize how powerful that steel was.
Yeah, so, we'll get to that part.
Yeah, we'll get to that
story
too.
Tough.
Jeez, I just wanted
to It's called plot device, but that's okay. It's okay. The show's not perfect. But yeah, she's like, we'll give you this pure Beskar spear's reward. A little too obvious, you know, what that's going to entail down the road. But then the one funny thing is he has Baby Yoda in his little sack, you know, down by his waist. And he sack by his waist. Excellent job. And just him saying, I keep it around for luck was funny.
Yes. It would be funny if you like pet the top of his head. Keep it around.
Yeah. It's like a lucky rabbit's foot. It's just living.
Exactly. Like, why do you have that weird creature? It's my little luck buddy. Song. That is fun.
And so then
so we leave.
We leave the town and he gets to go hunting for a Jedi. And this is fun because Ahsoka would sense as soon as Grogu or Baby Yoda lands on the planet, because she hasn't seen or encountered a Force-sensitive person in probably years. So the second that he was even in the radar, she would know exactly where he is, no matter where he's on the planet. But anyway, he's going to go around slowly but surely into the forest. And fun, he conveniently puts Baby Yoda out. He takes him out of the pack and he puts him on a rock just so he's easily visible. Like, he could have left him in, but just for story's sake, we're going to put him out in this prime position where he's completely open. At first, I thought Ahsoka was just going to come by and snag him. But instead, she comes out, like, flying out of nowhere and has the two lightsabers go right into his armor. And somehow, magically, his Beskar armor can stop two laser swords right dead in their tracks. They don't even dent. They don't even leave any type of like scuff on the armor.
Yeah, Beskar is pretty nice, I have to say. It's kind of like adamantium or something.
Yeah,
you know, in this realm, or vibranium.
It's definitely vibranium.
So yeah. Is this steel a part of like past Star Wars things at all? Because I had never seen anything like this before. Is this like from, I don't know, Rebels or Clone Wars?
I haven't heard of it before. I mean, it might be from the expanded universe, but I don't think it's been anything that's been on film.
Gotcha. Okay.
No, this is just wanted to double check. This is the way to show that he can be, you know, that he can defend himself against any kind of laser sword that happens to be out there.
Well, that always makes me curious as well, because we've seen him get struck by actual lasers from laser guns. So are the lasers that are firing out of the guns, are those roughly the same lasers that are coming out of a sword?
No, those are different.
Okay, cool. I'm glad that I'm here to ask these very tough questions.
Very tough, man. But yes, it was an interesting moment to see it just kind of stick there on top of his armor and not cut through. That was a fun little scene. Our moment.
And so then Mandalorian tries to do something and Ahsoka just acts like that's no big deal. Like, he sends the little rope around her and she just flips him over the tree and just is like, dude, you still suck. I don't care that your armor, I'll just peel your armor off. I don't really care. But one thing I noticed is that Ahsoka came in unnecessarily aggressively. There's no way Ahsoka's character would have done that, but whatever, that's fine. It made for the great going against the armor effect, which will be a gigantic thing later in the episode. That's the only reason this sequence was included. But then they're doing a little fighting and tugging around or whatever. And since Baby Yoda's not tucked away, he's out in a prime position. She can stop and say, I hope you're here about him. If he was tucked away, Ahsoka probably would have just killed Mandalorian and then that would have been that.
End of the show.
Never even would
have
known.
That's all, folks. Never would have known, man. Who knows? Yeah, it was all for effect, obviously. You know, that's fine. I'm sure he got some notes, too, from up above saying, nah, she's got to come in swinging. All right.
Yeah.
Fine.
Fine.
Yeah. Who knows? Maybe she's just mad.
And then...
Well, I mean, wouldn't she already think that he's... I mean, she could tell that he's a bounty hunter. I mean, how they even say, she even true. Later on, she goes, your bounty hunter, I killed your bounty hunter or whatever.
I just don't think Ahsoka would view him as a threat. That's all.
Okay.
Hmm. Yeah.
Ahsoka's been around for quite a while and got rid of much tougher foes. Like, literally, she had to fight Darth Vader, Darth Maul, and Emperor Palpatine in the course of like an hour. So. What's a bounty hunter?
Wow!
What's a bounty hunter, huh?
Man, maybe I should look up this Rebels show.
Anyways, yeah, so let's move on from there, because we knew that, yeah, that's just the way it's going to be.
And so now we get to the big, gigantic reveal that I guess people cared about. I personally didn't care. I thought
know,
it was
Mike,
stupid.
I didn't realize there was a big reveal until later. I'm like, oh, I thought the big reveal was the stuff that happened at the end of the episode, but sure. But anyways.
So we get to find out. About it. that Ahsoka can read Baby Yoda's mind, and then we get his name, which is Grogu. And yay, now we know, and so we don't have to call him Baby Yoda or the child, but I will always call him Baby Yoda or the child, and Grogu is going to be the third of the ways I call him. I might even call him Kid, most because likely. Mandalorian calls him Kid.
Yeah, hey, Kid. Come here, Kid. Good job, Kid. Pretty much.
I definitely think that it's a cute name, though. I think that it works.
It's perfectly fine, but I still think they should have called him Grogu instead of Grogu.
Grogu.
Now, why Baby Grogu? Grogu?
Because it's like Yoda. Grogu, it's Grogu. Yoda. And, come on. Grogu.
Little too on the nose there.
There's no beating around the bush when Ahsoka says, you know, I've only known one ever of his kind, which Twitter did hate that Yaddle wasn't acknowledged or anything. But the thing is, Ahsoka was like 4 when Yaddle died. Just slow your roll, okay? Ahsoka probably never met Yaddle.
Yeah, she can't know. She's not going to remember. I don't remember anybody when I was 4. Come on.
I don't know who Yaddle is.
Those people are all dead anyway.
Yaddle's from Phantom Menace. Yaddle is on the Jedi Council and it's Yoda with like a wig.
And yes, I caught that prog. When you were 4, it was like World War II times, I get it.
Yeah, you know.
It happens.
Back in the day. Yep. So
Very cool.
I'm fine with it too.
Yeah, I'm not going to really use it. I have to instinctively, like I want to call him Gorogoa or something funner, but...
Gogurt or something.
Gogurt's a fun name too.
Yeah.
Well, they said his name so many times, and I feel like I just couldn't capture it. Like, it didn't sink in until, like, the very end of the show. And even after the show ended, I almost immediately forgot what it was.
That's like me with both Star Wars names. Like, when they first came, I'm like, I don't know what that character's name is. And you find out, like, on a toy later, like, oh, your name was IG what bit beep bop bop, okay. I'm not going to call you that. Oh,
it's not like
going to be the guy with the 20 arms.
Ahsoka. Right. Ahsoka Tano. Ahsoka. That's just a good name. Grogu does not flow off the tongue the same way.
But I do, but to Alex's point, I do like the way he responds to his.
Yes.
That's
the best part for sure.
Every time.
Oh. I love it.
Like a little doggy.
I love it.
It's just like a little doggy. Tilts his head and he moves his ears. It's identical to a little dog.
It's like a little infant.
Yep.
Oh
cute.
My god.
I like
because
it.
Anytime that I call my baby's name and she looks up at me, I'm like, oh, it's the best.
And so in this whole sequence we get some exposition. What else did you want to say, Alex?
Oh no, nothing. It had nothing to do with this.
Okay, you can still say
it. Baby.
Okay. I was just gonna say I love being a dad.
Nice. Mandalorian. Because
I get
does
all those
too.
Baby Yoda.
That's what I was saying, Mando does too.
Just in like real life. I get all the Baby Yoda stuff in real life. It's great.
Awesome.
And more, because I've got to change a Baby Yoda diaper all the time.
We don't ever see that part when Mando has to be like putting up his little like robe thing and
which I'm glad we don't know what his like real body looks like under that adorable robe thing, because
right?
If we see like a little frog creature under there, like that to me kind of ruins the illusion of cuteness. Now, unless he's got like pudgy, like a baby rolls and he looks like a little baby under there, then that's adorable.
I'm guessing he does.
But I can't imagine. I think he looks like a little frog creature with a baby head popped on.
So
we
do get more exposition, and essentially the most interesting point. So Ahsoka says a lot of boring stuff. She explains that the Force binds all living creatures because I've never seen Star Wars in my entire life. I've never even seen the original trilogy or anything. So we have to have
no one has. Nobody has.
I thought the Force was all about the M count.
Of course.
The M count is
all
how you access
how
the Force, but the Force is still what it is.
Yeah.
God. Oh, why are they going to make it so confusing?
So hard.
And then we get the mention of Yoda. People are like, oh, look, it's Yoda. I know that name because this is Baby Yoda.
This is baby him. This was him when he was a baby. Wait, that doesn't work.
A few notes on thematic parallels and all that. We'll test him in the morning and all that good stuff. But my takeaway was that he was trained by many masters during the Clone Wars. So if we effectively say he's 50 years old and...
Mm-hmm.
A New Hope is about 30 years ago before Mandalorian, or maybe like 25 years ago. Clone Wars has to be at least 15, 20 years before that. Like, literally, there's no way Baby Yoda had enough time to be trained by multiple masters before the fall of the Jedi Order.
Well, and if he's only a baby at 50 like this, what was he like 40 years ago? I mean, he had to have been at 10 years old. He's still sitting in a cradle,
like,
you would think.
Drooling on himself.
Yeah, he's still spitting up.
Many masters tried to train him. And he just doesn't do anything.
He just kept teething on everything.
Plot holes.
The funniest one I saw online after the fact, though, was, you know when Anakin goes to kill all the younglings? There's all these people who are putting, like, various kinds of gifts of people running away of Grogu when Anakin comes to kill all the younglings.
Yep. Like, oh, hurry, let's run. Anakin doesn't look so good, everybody. Let's get out of here.
I don't know how Grogu got out of that one. Anakin seemed pretty resilient on snuffing out everybody there.
Not much.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, he was trained by multiple masters, so maybe he had a special trick that helped him get
away. Yeah, he went to Anakin. This is not the youngling you're looking for.
Yes, this is not the youngling you're looking for.
Okay, so then costume design again is awesome, because now she has her cloak off. I didn't mention the first scene, it's really cool when she has the big cloak on. Because Ahsoka loves that cloak.
And everything.
Yeah, and so now she's just down to her normal attire, and that's awesome design, too.
Yes, agreed.
And then we get to the testing sequence. Because, yay.
Why not? Why not?
And so let's move rocks, because like The Last Jedi told us, the Force is all about learning to float rocks.
Float your rocks. It is.
Well, I was expecting... this to be another one of those scenes like Yoda and Luke scene. I was expecting to just see that scene all over again, like Baby Yoda lifts up the spaceship. But what's the
Razor Crest?
Yeah, the Razor Crest. Oh, I was expecting him to lift that up somehow, and then they're all going, "Oh my god!"
Ahsoka was gonna ride on Baby Yoda's back. It was going to be like a whole inverse thing.
He dies in the battle on his back.
Gotta do a flip over a log.
Oh my god. Fantastic.
Then Baby Yoda has to go kill Darth Vader version of Baby Yoda.
No, the Anakin version, when he was still Anakin before he turned to Darth Vader.
Oh, because that's...
That's how he came into the room.
Yeah. Anakin comes in to kill him, and that's his vision that he has to face. Good stuff. Oh, and he doesn't run away this time. He faces him.
We're riding gold. Yeah, this is good stuff.
Come on, Filoni.
Jeez, acting like he's a big Star Wars guy.
That's a bunch of Filoni.
Oh, you beat me to it, I was going to say.
Yeah!
There was $5 on the line, dang it.
Did Jimmy send that to you too?
No, he told me that I had to drop that line and he would pay me. $5. So,
oh my god,
dang.
You're kidding. Look, all right,
you hate to see it.
I'm gonna write him a
bunch
get
of
that money.
Anyway, all right. I like it though. Yeah.
And so then he drops the stone immediately, and he can only do it when Mando is like, "Here, look at the little ball that you took off of the ship." It wasn't just a throwaway humor scene. It was actually showing that you're attached to something, and so he can go and float that, and he's like, "Look, Ahsoka, he did it." And Ahsoka's like, no, I can't train him. I've seen a Jedi Knight with this kind of power and that kind of fear before. I can't do this. And so obviously she's referencing her master, who only became a master because Clone Wars exists. And if you go based on the stupid movies, Anakin never had damn time to train Ahsoka, but whatever.
It's okay, because who cares about those?
Those movies suck. They don't actually never happen. Mm. They're not even canon. I don't care.
Ooh.
Clone Wars are canon. Watch Clone Wars.
We're gonna get really bad reviews on iTunes now.
That's everybody, okay, watch Clone Wars, okay? You'll get an appreciation for Anakin's descent to become Darth Vader. The prequels,
it's more tragic.
There's not enough time. Honestly, they skim over the actual descent, because I was thinking about it when he goes to kill Grogu of the younglings to then going and killing Padme with breaking her heart or whatever, there's no, like, he gets to a point where he's literally like telling Mace Windu, no, we have to take him to the Senate. He has to face justice. You can't kill him right now. And so he cuts his arm off. So he's still on the relative good side of things. And then he descends automatically to killing younglings. There's nothing that leads to that. That's just such a sharp, yeah, like, dude.
Yeah, Lucas dropped the ball with that.
Yeah. Cool. But that's why you watch Clone Wars, everyone. You'll be like, wow, Anakin's been struggling this for like a decade. No wonder.
And you guys know a lot more about Star Wars.
Clone Wars is fun, man. You get to see Ahsoka.
I'll check it out. I know because of all of our Star Wars talk, we've actually gotten a few fans to start watching all these other shows. So,
all
right. Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Good.
I've had fans reach out to me and tell me that. So,
good. All night.
And good so. Stuff. Grogu's been hiding his abilities since Anakin came to kill him and he ran away. And he's been trying to keep under the radar and just been alone in the little pod floating around. I don't know who's been overseeing his pod transport for the past 30 years.
I was wondering that same thing. I was like, who's been in charge of him? He's just floating around forever? Like, what? How's he eat?
Well, hold on. I thought in the last episode they were taking his blood and, like, trying to create these other clone things with his
yeah, but
M
that's
count.
Like in the past 5 years when oh, when oh, the Clone oh, okay, Wars okay, ends okay. That's like 40 oh, years ago.
okay gotcha.
I don't know how
sure
he's been
we'll get that
protected and stuff
at some point.
Yeah, we'll see a whole episode curious. Of it'll be a backstory episode. We'll do a flashback. We'll zoom into Baby Yoda's eye and it will just flash back. This is what he was up to. It's going to be like that terrible Stranger Things episode. What this is what Eleven's been up to this season.
Oh god.
Yeah. Haters gonna hate. It's all right. It's okay. That episode was bitching.
Okay, bro.
Hard now.
Whatever. But also, so Anakin descended twice because first he descends because he loses his mom, and then he descends because he wants to protect Padme. Either way, he wanted to protect either of them. And so the problem with Grogu is that he has such a strong attachment to Mando that if anything ever happened to Mando, Grogu would have too much power and he'd be a new Darth Grogu. And Ahsoka can't
Ooh,
oversee
that's
that.
A cool name.
Darth Grogu.
It sounds way more
I
intimidating.
Am Darth Grogu.
Look at this little baby waddling out.
He has the big like oh, black that- helmet.
He's like sliding off his head. He can't quite fit. He can't see. Albert. He keeps looking up.
It'll be just like Spaceballs. He'll have that oversized helmet.
Exactly. Like holding it with his hands. Okay. This is gold. Gold. All right. We need to keep going.
Right. Yeah. So she says, no, I can't train him for those reasons. But then Mando's like, well, come on, reconsider. They told me I need to kill you, so we'll go kill them, and then you'll train him? And she's like, you know what? Yeah. Everything that I just said about Anakin and Darkseid, that's stupid. We got a deal. I was just messing around with you. I was just waiting for
just
you to bargain.
Now that's a good idea!
Put some time into creating decisions for characters, please. I know it's only a 45-minute show, but let them at least consider their choices for just a beat.
Would be nice.
But that is interesting, because if you're not totally listening to what she's saying and why she won't train him, like, I didn't even make that connection. The fact that, I mean, she keeps saying, oh, well, he's got fear in him and this, that, and I can't train him because of fear and whatnot. But I never even really made the connection to Anakin.
Well, if you hadn't
Darth
seen
Vader
Clone Wars, you wouldn't know that Ahsoka was Anakin's Padawan.
Exactly.
Yeah, Zero, she didn't mention his name at all. She just talked about
it. Yeah.
She didn't name drop, which was interesting. Like, I don't know if that was a good thing or a bad thing for people like Alex who don't.
That's fair.
Right.
I didn't think of it like that.
I don't know. Yeah. It was vague, but it was like, okay, cool for like the people on the inside that know that, but what about everybody else?
Mm-hmm.
Well, and that's the thing is like, that's why I feel like I'm not talking very much in this episode because I don't feel like I know enough to.
Well, it's good
to
that
you know enough
that.
About
like,
this
episode. What did you
episode?
Feel about that?
Yeah.
Right. Like, what did you did you enjoy that aspect, or was that too confusing for you?
No, I mean, if I know enough Star Wars to know, you know, to get me by, but for her to be very vague about who she was talking about, I was like, okay, well, she could be talking about this guy, or
part of me wonders, though, do they do that to leave like a breadcrumb trail and people look it up? Like, let me, you know, just search Ahsoka Tano, right. And then you can be like, oh, she's connected to Darth Vader.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's a cool idea. But a lot of people won't do that. They just look at it like, okay, this is a fun show with shiny colors. But I guess there are going to be people who want a deep dive.
Yeah. And so I did just really quick. Mando says, Grogu, do you want this? Just like he's talking to his dog and they were playing fetch. It was the same exact voice. If Mandalorian had an actual dog, that's exactly how I would have talked to it. Not like a 50-year-old creature that can wield the Force.
Here you go.
It was a little jarring. Like, that whole thing, the way he was talking to the kid was...
It was a little too weird. Dismissive.
Right.
He knows what he's capable of. Dude can pick up a rhino and literally your armor has the logo of the rhino that he got rid of. You didn't do anything to the rhino, dude.
You did nothing, buddy. Except for maybe soil yourself. I don't know.
Yeah, he's just bait.
That's what she should have in his armor, bait. Little bits of bait.
And so now they've agreed to work together, and we get a little backstory of the magistrate, and I didn't really care. Obviously, she's a nobody who was just whatever. Right. Her backstory was two sentences. I was like, well... It's going to take away the inevitable fight between them when, guess what? Any character is going to go toe-to-toe with Ahsoka, they're going to have more than a two-sentence backstory. I'm 100% sure of. And so then Ahsoka storms. We get more badassery. She cuts the bell. She does that cool thing where she does both of her sabers and opens it in front of her face, which is, you can find that. She does that a bunch in Clone Wars, so that's just her, like, token thing that they actually did in live action. It was awesome to see.
Well, and it was cool too when she did cut open that bell. Like, you got to feel, like, you felt the enormity of that bell. I don't know, there was just something really cool about that when the way that it rolled off the wall, and it just, even like, I know it's so silly, but the camera shake, I was like, ooh, that was kind of cool. Then it's sitting there glowing from, you know, burning up. That was wild.
Well, it's also good that she cut it with her saber in metal, and then they show that the Beskar cannot be cut. So it's like
dual
purpose there. Mm-hmm. Kind of fun.
Yeah.
And then I do want to point out, speaking of the camera work, so the problem with Revenge of the Sith in particular is that it's such fake CGI. You see these little things flying around. It looks really stupid. They do a really good job of making it cut just the right way, so she makes leaps to the roof, but it doesn't look like, you know, there's a ragdoll flying around to get to the roof. They cut it so she makes these 20 feet leaps just like you would in the cartoon, but in doing it in live action, it's not as jarring and CGI heavy.
Yeah,
good call. It looked really silly in the movie when I saw it. I'm like, oh my god, like, you can tell it's not them, but you can tell they like go from the actor to CGI to the actor.
Yeah, you just need some camera work, honestly. You don't need CGI. Editing. It's just editing and camera work.
Simple as that. Like a ninja.
Well, and there wasn't very much CGI, or at least I didn't feel like there was. It didn't feel like there was...
That's when you know you have good CGI.
Yes.
Right?
CGI is so good, it kind of just blends in with everything else.
And maybe that's why this this place that we're at, this planet, was very foggy and very dark and very moody. Yeah. It hides all of that. Because, I mean, Jurassic Park is the greatest example where, you know, you're taking 1992 CGI and you hide it behind darkness and rain.
Right. Works.
And that's kind of how I felt with this one. Like, I didn't see any CGI where I was like, because now I look for it, because you guys complain about it a lot, so I look for this. Oh god, every episode, Krog.
I guess
that's so. Why you got to give a shout out to the camera work, where you don't have to rely on CGI to do the same things. Ahsoka can get from here to here, and all you have to do is slice it just at the right time, and then the audience is like, oh, she just made a big leap. But you didn't have to show her leaping. The audience can go along with you. You're the director. You can lead the audience along to what your vision is.
Yeah.
Well said.
Yeah.
Well said.
Very,
all right.
Very, very good.
What's next?
And so then Ahsoka's picking off enemies. Oh. She's definitely pissing off people too, but she's picking off enemies one by one. Cool little lightsaber action going through the alleyways and the streets. And one cool thing is there was a Lothcat for some reason. So Lothcat, if you're unfamiliar with Rebels, they're on Lothal. They are literally called Lothcats. Like, Lothal is the best planet because they have Lothcats, they have Lothwoofs, they have Loth. They just add Loth to every name of animal that we have. It's great. But this planet is not Lothal, but for some reason there's Lothcats in the alleyways, and it was weird.
Yeah, someone maybe brought it. Maybe it was like, you know, someone traveled to that planet with it, possibly. I don't know.
But Lothcat also connects to one potential character that we'll get to.
Oh, that we'll get to? Ooh.
We're not at the end of the episode. Ooh.
And so then,
all right,
the guys are going to be killed. The guys she has to, like, the tortured guys. And Mando comes just at the last second and saves those guys. And that's, yay. That's fun.
Well, and this was the scene that I had mentioned earlier where she's like, "You're bounty hunter. I killed your bounty hunter," whatever.
Right.
Yeah, and that's when she started the whole thing.
Yep, and so now we get to the showdown fight between Ahsoka and the Magistrate. And she has the Beskar spear. And luckily, we know the Beskar spear can go toe-to-toe with a laser sword. So at least gives her a fighting chance. Like, if it was a regular piece of metal, Ahsoka would walk up and slice the spear plus her in half, and that would be that. So that wouldn't be a very fun fight. So they had to show that Beskar armor could stand up, and that we get this whole fun little spear versus saber fight. And the only thought I had during the scene was, why didn't they ever give Rey turning her staff into a damn double-sided lightsaber?
Right? I had so many questions about that movie. This is not
better. But it just, you're whipping it around. If that was a lightsaber, that would have been great. But then we have the fun going back and forth between the number one in command of the Magistrate talking to Mando outside, and they can hear the grunts and the swords and all that fun stuff. Right. And they're talking and talking and talking just so they, I don't know, whatever.
Right.
So that the two they don't have to show the actual fight.
Yeah, let him cut down on fight choreography.
Right. Yeah. But it this is where it felt like Kill Bill. And the funny thing is I saw Ed on Twitter. I think today he actually posted a picture of Kill Bill, and it was like out of context Mandalorian. And I'm like, oh, I thought that during the show. I guess everybody else thought it too.
Well, they also have to give themselves the ancient fighting stances. You know, it was like, come on. Yeah, we got it. We got the whole samurai battle thing, and we're using swords, right, and there's no guns or anything. We're in that alternate reality where we don't have laser guns or anything like that. Cool.
When there's laser guns right outside the walls.
And literally, that's all Mandalorian can do is use laser guns and fire and stuff.
Well, Mandalorian's just Batman. He's got his rope thing, and
he is Batman.
Yeah. He's the Batman of the
Batman
universe, yeah.
He's Batman of this universe, yeah. No joke.
Yeah, okay. I'm okay with that. All right, so then we have, like, the gunfight as well outside.
Oh, the staff falls. And I actually really like this part where the staff falls and then the guy, the head of security or whatever, goes, "Sounds like you won."
Yep.
And he starts bending over to lay his
gun
down.
Is it drop?
Because he's...
In my head, where's a drop?
Oh, if only he was on that squid planet.
It's a drop. Yeah, one of them pops out the door. It's a drop. How'd you get here? This isn't your planet.
He should have just been in one of the
you,
doors.
The lost cat needs to get off this planet. Go on.
Yeah, he opens the window. Yeah, he whispers. Anyways. It's a trap. Okay. Yeah. Back to it.
It was a fun high noon kind of moment.
I thought that was
I thought
cool.
Just that whole Western idea, because still Mando is a great gunslinger, and just having a classic showdown and whipping his gun out really quick, that's fun.
Well, it was cool because, and I didn't think about this until right now, that, you know, you've got on one side of the wall you've got your samurais, and on the other side of the wall you've got your gunslinging westerns. It's kind of cool that they're sitting right next to each other, and they're I don't know.
Yeah,
it was
Filoni
just that was
that
one of those
purpose.
Really cool things. Yeah,
it's
really
very,
cool.
It's a Filoni sandwich, is what that was.
Yes.
With a little bit of Filoni in there.
That's right.
And then right after Mando takes out the guy, the citizen says, "Behind you," And then there's the robot up there, and he goes and shoots that guy too. And then that citizen guy we find out was actually the leader of this planet before it was taken over.
The leader of this planet who owns the strip mall.
Yep.
Yeah, like you said last week, this is my planet.
Same thing, yeah.
Same thing.
Every planet's like that. Every planet has the strip mall guy owner, yeah.
Well, this little area seemed like it was the size of a strip mall. It wasn't very big at all.
Because they're just using the planet for resources, so they put a few places for hired guns and workers, and let's go.
I guess that's true, yeah. You just destroyed the rest.
And so after we get the gunslinger portion, and after Ahsoka wins the battle, we actually get the biggest nugget from this episode. We understand what info Ahsoka's on this planet for. And so she asks him, who is your master, or where is your master? Where is Thrawn? And so if Thrawn doesn't mean anything to you, which, Alex, I'm sure that it doesn't.
Nope.
He's a big blue guy, so he's essentially a blue version of any kind of like Imperial leader or command guy you've seen before. But the difference with him is he's studied and trained in... No, he hasn't trained. He's studied all your Jedi arts. He's kind of like General Grievous, who's not a robot. Very similar kind of mythos in the way that he talks about things. But he was the main adversary in Rebels. He was the one who always was tracking him down, always right on this particular ghost ship and this little pocket of Rebels that we focused on. And so having Thrawn tied in brings us to Ahsoka, but more importantly, it brings us to Ezra. And that's why there's a Lothcat, because Ezra's from Lothal and he can communicate with animal species. That's one of his force abilities. And so to have the Lothcat there, I think, is tying to Ezra, just because we do get to the point where, after this whole battle and after this whole, you know, we're talking everything up, Ahsoka says, I won't train him, but take him to this particular Jedi temple, let him use the Force and emit his energy, and maybe a Jedi might sense him. I don't know how many are left. And so as soon as she said that, I'm thinking, well, at the end of Rebels, Ezra transports to a different plane of existence. And in this time period, I think Luke is still doing the school. He's still training Ben, because I don't think it's far enough where he's given up. And so those are the only two Jedi I know of in this current time period in the entire universe.
Oh,
yeah,
no.
It was a for sure thing. I was all like, I'm pretty sure they're going to have Ezra.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is funny, because I like that character a lot.
So. They're not going to bring in Luke, are they?
I don't know.
Well, people love Sebastian Stan as a young Mark Hamill.
Could happen.
Right, but if he's training Ben, God, who is it?
Ben Solo, yeah.
Kylo Ren.
Yep.
Yeah, he's already an old man, so he could still play himself. Mark Hamill could still play himself.
That's fair.
They would all they would do is, I mean, God, they've done it 1,000 times in other shows where they de-age
and
people,
they don't even have to
de-age
that much.
That much, exactly.
They just put
so
a little, like, Just for Men in his beard, and he's good.
But yeah, he could easily come back to play Luke again, and then we just can't get away from the Skywalkers.
That's why I think they'll go with Ezra, just for that
reason. Go with Ezra. He put a Lothcat in it. I mean, it's not... That was not a throwaway little thing.
Yeah.
You know?
And not only that, Ezra ties directly to Thrawn. Like, literally... Ezra's last act in Rebels is to defeat Grand Admiral Thrawn. And so if Ahsoka's looking for Thrawn and Ahsoka says there's another Jedi out there, it's pointing to one Jedi.
Well, that's why I didn't realize it was going to be Ezra until she said Thrawn. Then I went, oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's where this is going. That's where Ezra. Because like before, I'm like, who the hell else is out there? Because I'm like, I'm pretty sure Ezra's not around right now. There's no way he would be able to. But maybe. We don't know. This is several years after. I don't know.
Yeah, Ezra's got to be like, because he was always like, you know, 16 to 18 or whatever. You know, he wasn't like fully aged out. So he's got to be like 25 to 30 now.
Mm-hmm. Just don't cast Ezra Miller. That's all I'm saying. We don't need Ezra on Ezra. We don't need that. Please. I just want to throw that out there so they don't do it.
Well, I just went on to Google real quick just to look up Thrawn and Ezra, and nice. This guy looks pretty creepy.
Thrawn is going to be fun because what's his name? Lars Mikkelsen? He plays him.
He voices him. Yeah.
Yeah, he voices him. Just like so, the one kind of regret I have of Ahsoka is Rosario Dawson looks the part, but I've grown so accustomed to Ashley Eckstein's voice as Ahsoka. If they could have dubbed it somehow, I just would have loved to see it.
So I think that's something for that's good for me because I think that Rosario Dawson did a great job, and I don't have anything to compare it to.
She did a great job. She sounded like Rosario Dawson. Like, I've seen Rosario Dawson enough.
Like, oh, it's Rosario Dawson. Like, that's what I thought the whole time. I didn't think it was Ahsoka at all the whole time. Even though she looked cool, I was like, yeah, it's Rosario.
Yeah.
It's okay. That's what it is. She did a great job.
Yeah.
But anyways, I think the even cooler is that, you know, Thrawn is actually a extended universe character. So he was even predates all this stuff. So when they brought him onto the show and the cartoon, I was like, oh my God, they're bringing in actual, like, books, you know, that we thought were all thrown away. And he brought it back into canon, so that's even more exciting to me. That really is an extended universe for us to venture out into.
Well, that's the cool thing. Like, what we learned about, like, Cobb Vance. Cobb Vance had his own books as well, and he was in the first episode. So they definitely are doing deep dives with, you know, getting into more of this, like, side stuff that people really don't know much about.
It's a delicate balance because, like, when we talked about episode one, we're like, everything is connected to the main movies. You know, it's like we're on Tatooine and here's Jawas and here's the Sand People. It's all these established things. But now, as we're getting into it, they're doing more deep cut stuff. And it's actually a pretty good delicate balance when you take the season as a whole rather than looking at an individual episode.
Yeah, I can see that.
Because you want to connect to general fans, but you also want to dive deeper into the huge universe that is Star Wars.
Right.
Right, yeah.
That's my favorite general.
Well, now, and that's... Oh, man. Now I'm, like, thinking back to that first episode again, and how they hinted at Boba Fett being still alive, and it's been 5 episodes since then, and there hasn't been any other mention of this, but what would be the point of them showing Boba Fett at the end of that one episode? If, I mean, we're, like I said, we're 5 episodes in. People have long forgotten that first episode at this point. They're now looking ahead at Thrawn. They're now looking ahead at Ezra and Ahsoka. They don't care about Boba Fett anymore. But that's going to make an appearance again later on. It has to.
Question is, are they going to continue down this Mandalore storyline? Are they going to go down the whole Ahsoka, Ezra, Thrawn storyline, or is that going to be her own spin-off series that they're trying to do?
That would be interesting because it is tough. Because if you do a Mandalorian storyline, I thought she would have Sabine with her in some connection. Because if you bring in Sabine, it's Mandalore. It's all about Mandalorian. Right. And Ahsoka and Sabine were together last we saw them. So now they're separated for whatever reason, even though they both have their both goal at the end of Rebels is to find Ezra. So if Ahsoka wants to find Thrawn, she obviously still wants to find Ezra. It's a whole connected idea. But where is Sabine? And so, like, to your point, I don't know, based on where she left this, I don't know if we're going to see Ahsoka again. It's kind of like Ahsoka was a bridge, and we're not seeing Ahsoka again in this show. But she could do her own show with her hunt for Thrawn and Ezra, because it depends. Are we focusing on Mandalorian, or are we focusing on Baby Yoda? It's not, the show isn't called Grogu. It's called Mandalorian.
Right. So I think it's going to be all the Mandalore lore in this show, and they'll probably do a spin-off show, I'm guessing. Maybe Filoni will attach himself to that more full-time, and then maybe this will just be Favreau. I don't know. That's my guess. I mean, I could be wrong. It's a lot to throw in the pot for a show that's so simple, or has been so simplistic up to this point.
Yeah, especially if you're doing 8 episodes a season, like Clone Wars, when it started out, they do so much storytelling because there's 22 episodes a season. It's a lot of time to tell a story. If you give yourself 8 episodes, it's tough to tell a Jedi story and a Mandalorian story at the same time.
Right, you can't. This is not going to happen. But that's why I'm thinking it's going to be, this might be the last time we'll see her on this show.
I would watch a show called Ahsoka. I know that.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, man. Well, now, but it's so interesting because because of what we saw from Ahsoka in this last episode, that almost now is becoming almost a little more interesting to me. Like, let's go down that line. Yeah, I'll watch that too, because that seems super interesting.
Sold. There you go.
Because it's like all Mandalorian's doing is trying to find someone to take care of this kid that he's kind of attached to.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no real big story behind that. He's just trying to here, someone else take care of this.
I know he wants to pass him off so bad, and say he does.
But he also doesn't want to pass him off. He wants to keep him, but he also wants to pass him. Anyways.
Yeah, that's like that point where he said, "This is goodbye, kid." Like, I knew it wasn't. That was a stupid line. I wasn't going to feel any emotional attachment to that.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
And so one thing, once the credits rolled, was in the concept art, they had Ahsoka with the white hood. And so at the end of Rebels, she wears the white cloak. And she has the little white staff.
I was wondering why they didn't.
And so that was in the concept art. They considered it, but in the actual execution, she's just wearing a gray cloak and she's back to a normal lightsaber. So why did they make that change? That's really weird.
Baloney, what are you doing? This is your character. That was his choice. I don't know. That was really weird. It was really weird to see, because I thought she was going to show up with the white hood.
Yeah.
I thought she was, and she didn't. I was like, okay, maybe she decided to go back to the Jedi. I don't know. Don't know. They haven't told us that.
Her cloak looks so good because it fits on her head and it makes the little like U shape and the horns. It's really cool. This one was super loose like fitting.
She looked like an alien nun. Like a, I don't know. Like a ninja nun or something.
Ninja really cool. Nun. That's what the Ahsoka series is going to be called. Ninja nun.
Ninja nun in space.
Good anyway. Stuff, guys.
Yep.
So that was, so again, I think my main takeaway is the episode was good, but I think the intriguing of Thrawn and Ezra was more my takeaway than the episode itself.
That's interesting, because that was like a split second part of
the, I know, but it leaves just so much potential of right, how Baby Yoda fits into the universe and how they're going to get Ezra tied back in. And like Prog said, are we going to have a Jedi-specific storyline within this show, a separate show? It's way more forking pathways than just seeing live-action Ahsoka slice people up.
Yep.
It's just so forking exciting. Hey! Hey!
I like it! That was a good one.
Cool.
Let's wrap this up. That was fun. That was a good episode.
Yeah.
And if you like what you're listening to, please support our sponsors. And to everyone listening, we hope you enjoyed, and we'll talk to you next time.
Bye, go.
DeLorean Wolfgang. Roll out.